This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. It's a scientific fact that vaccines are one of the greatest inventions of the last 150 years. They've all but eradicated deadly diseases like smallpox, polio, and measles from most of the world. Vaccines are a treatment designed to arm a person against those viruses and other diseases by providing immunity. They work by exposing you to a weakened version of the pathogen, like a flu virus. Your body's immune system then learns the pathogen's characteristics and develops the necessary antibodies to resist the pathogen if later exposed to it. Medical science supports the assertion that the development of vaccines was a major breakthrough that allowed humanity and civilization to flourish. And the scientific evidence for the effectiveness of large-scale vaccination campaigns is well established. Some opponents to vaccination argue that the reduction of infectious disease is due to improved sanitation, hygiene, and refrigeration, or that these diseases were already on the decline before the introduction of vaccines. However, the scientific data does not support these claims. But now these life-saving treatments have become politically controversial. It's possible that when an entire generation grows up without witnessing firsthand the horrors of deadly contagious disease on children and mass outbreaks, they never fully understand the miracle of vaccination. The myth is that vaccines can give a child autism, but the American Medical Association says there is no scientific evidence that supports this claim, and the AMA supports tighter limitations on immunizations opt-outs. Regardless, the number of parents who are refusing to vaccinate their children is growing in Texas, as is the political power of the anti-vaccination force. One Texas lawmaker has decided to author bills that supports vaccines. Republican Representative Sarah Davis has authored bills in the current legislative session that supports vaccinations, and she has drawn the ire of those who oppose mandatory vaccination laws for public health. Davis represents District 134 in Harris County.
I have filed four bills that are relating to vaccinations. Two of them are specific to HPV and cancer prevention vaccines, and then there's two that are just general, dealing with all vaccines. Though I think the first bill that's probably caught the most attention is the one, it's House Bill 97, and it allows minors to protect themselves against cancer by being able to consent to their own cancer prevention vaccines. And there are two types of cancer prevention vaccines, and that is an HPV vaccine and also hepatitis B. We can prevent liver cancer if you get your vaccine for hepatitis B. And the second bill dealing with HPV is really just a data collection bill. It authorizes the Department of State Health Services to report annually on a county level the vaccination rates for HPV-related cancer, because we really don't have any report that can tell us what those vaccination rates are county by county, and therefore we really can't make the best public policy decisions about where to deploy resources. So if we don't know if we've got like a super high level of unvaccinated in one particular county, and so we have, you know, limited resources, and we want to make sure we utilize them in the most effective manner. And I think if we know what those rates are on a county by county basis, it will help us make better decisions. And then I have a bill that requires any parent that is going to get or seek a non-medical exemption for vaccines, because of course state law requires that all children be vaccinated if they're going to attend public school, unless you have a medical exemption. So perhaps you have a child who his or her immune system is compromised, and so they can't receive a vaccine, which makes it even more important that every child around that child is vaccinated. That's called the herd effect. But the bill that requires parents, if they're going to seek a non-medical exemption, that they're going to have to get some education. I feel like there is a lot of misinformation about vaccines, and I think that if a parent is going to make that decision, that in my opinion endangers not only their child but all the children that their child comes into contact, that they need to probably get some evidence-based information in order to get that non-medical vaccine. So House Bill 126 requires that the Department of State Health Services create an online education module so that the parent will have to go in and you know, see the information or read the information depending on what the module looks like in order for them to get a non-medical exemption. Because in Texas, we have seen that these non-medical exemptions have increased 19-fold in Texas. And that's from 2003 to 2016. And we have some school districts that have more than double the state's average of unvaccinated kids. And so I think it's becoming a public health issue. And the last bill that I filed changes the wording in the code when we talk about exemptions. So right now you are you can get a non-medical exemption for a quote reason of conscience. So you have this conscientious objection to vaccines. And I think when you use that terminology, it implies some type of a morally superior choice to not vaccinate. And in my opinion, not vaccinating your children is immoral unless you're really endangering everybody. So my bill, House Bill 120, seeks to replace this quote reasons of conscience language and just call it what it is, which is non-medical. So I'm not affecting the parent's ability to obtain a non-medical vaccine exemption, but I want the language in the code to call it what it is, which is non-medical. And those are my bills.
So we know that there is no evidence that vaccinations do any harm to a typical child.
That's true.
People out there think that there's it causes autism,
right,
even though there's no scientific evidence that supports that.
Right.
But you're losing the battle here. You said 19-fold.
Yeah.
We're seeing growth of people who are saying, well, maybe I won't vaccinate my child. What's going on here?
You know, I almost think of it as like a cult. I mean, there are the group of what I will call the anti-vaxxers, and they so passionately believe that vaccines have harmed their child or will harm their child. And I understand, you know, it's a parent and child and how important and precious that relationship is. But there is zero science to back up any of the claims that vaccines are harmful. It is the exact opposite. I mean, vaccines are a modern miracle. They've saved millions of lives. And because vaccines were so effective against diseases like polio, most people, you know, walking around don't know polio. You know, maybe their grandmother knew polio. They don't see the devastating effects of polio. And now we're actually starting to see cases of polio. We're seeing these outbreaks all over Texas for, like, measles and mumps. I have a hard time explaining where the anti-vaxxers, you know, come from. But I feel like the vast majority of parents and Texans know and believe in the science of vaccines, and they quite frankly had no idea that science and what I consider common sense is under attack. And these anti-vaxxers have become very, very organized, and they're very politically engaged. You have this there's a group in Texas, I think they're called Parents for Vaccine Choice or Texans for Vaccine Choice. They have formed a political action committee. They have raised money. They make campaign contributions. They block walk and get involved, boots on the ground in campaigns. And, you know, that, I think the vast majority of people don't know that that's happening. And so they don't know that we're, you know, losing the war.
You talked about mumps and measles, and there's whooping cough and
pertussis, rubella.
People think, hey, Kids get measles, kid gets mumps. That's no big deal, right?
Well, it is a big deal. Children die from those diseases. And even if your child, for instance, maybe gets measles and doesn't die, they are spreading that disease to a population of children where you could have children that do have compromised immune systems, and therefore they can't be vaccinated, and then they die because you decided that you didn't want to vaccinate your child.
Do you have any children?
I do not. But I'm a cancer survivor. I was diagnosed with breast cancer when I was at age 32. And the chemo that I went through made it so I would not be able to have children, which is probably why I'm so passionate about the HPV vaccine, because even though my cancer, breast cancer, is not related to, to HPV, I know what it's like to be in her 30s and having to do 6 months of chemo. And I met young women in their 20s dying of cervical cancer. And I have been, given the opportunity to be an advocate, and knowing that we have spent billions and will spend billions of dollars not only treating cancer but searching for cures for cancer, and in the palm of our hands, we have something even greater. We have a prevention tool. We have a vaccine. It is incomprehensible to me why you would not want to choose to vaccinate your child against cancer, because I can guarantee you that, when you are, if you have a child and she is diagnosed with cervical cancer at the age of 28, you are not going to look at her and say, well, at least I got to exercise my parental choice to not vaccinate you. I mean, cancer is a devastating disease, and with a vaccine, it can be prevented. I can't imagine why there is so much pushback for cancer prevention.
The anti-vaxxers, as you call them, you are in their crosshairs.
Yes, I probably am their public enemy number one.
What are you experiencing?
Well, we experience a heavy volume of calls. Somehow they were able to generate people to call the office opposing the bills. And so there was a period for 2 days, I believe, where our office, basically no one could get through because it was just call after call after call of an anti-vaxxer expressing their opposition to my immunization bills. Interestingly enough, none of those people that called were my actual constituents.
And so tell me the tone of their complaints when they call in.
It's a very aggressive tone, and they also have extensive blogs or Facebook posts that are mean-spirited, I would say.
You got an R next to your name. You're a Republican. Is this a Republican issue?
I do not believe this is a partisan issue whatsoever. I just don't see any partisanship behind this.
Taking the position that you've taken is asking for headaches. A lot of politicians feel the way you feel. They understand the science. Yet the volume in the loudness and in the amount of the attacks that you will get for doing this position, as you have found out, you got to wonder, why do it?
Well, and unfortunately, you're right. I mean, that probably most members absolutely believe in the science behind vaccines. Interestingly enough, one of the state representatives who's the most vocal against me personally and did some type of a press conference calling my bills a bad bill of the week, admitted to me that he has two daughters and they're fully vaccinated. But unfortunately, when you get this kind of feedback, even if it's from a minority group in terms of the number of people, they're very, very loud. And so most members can't help but kind of want to keep their distance from the issue, because I had no idea vaccines were controversial until I got elected. And you know, heard the first public health hearing dealing with vaccines and saw, you know, all of these folks coming up to testify against bills that were considered pro-vaccine.
Right. It's like fluoride in the water.
Yeah.
These issues or, you know, anti-smart meter type stuff. So you have a faction who is able to weaponize this issue and they're able to whip up a frenzy, their support. But people who are in favor of vaccinations, they know that this is something that saves lives, prevents suffering, it's good for society overall.
Yeah.
They're not activated.
They're not. And we've been, you know, I think, though, that by me filing the bills and then these bills get the attention of the anti-vaxxers and who become very loud, then more and more people are starting to realize this is a growing movement and maybe we do need to get active. So I think that the more attention that I can put on the issue and the louder that faction of people that oppose vaccines get, that hopefully the folks that believe in science also hear what they're trying to accomplish.
Well, here's another possibility. We've got ourselves a ticking public health time bomb.
Yeah.
And we're going to have an outbreak of one of these preventable diseases.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have children suffer. Some may lose their lives because of the belief at one time by a very activated group that vaccinations caused autism. What happens on that day?
I mean, it'll be a horrible day. But if it would be bad. I just kind of hope that science and common sense will prevail at the end during this legislative session.
So these bills, will they go anywhere?
You know, it's hard to say. We're getting later and later in the session. I have not been given a hearing on any of the bills yet, but I have requested the hearings, and I do know that the chair of public health, which is where these bills are, is a very reasonable, well-respected member, and I'm hoping that I will get hearings. I may not be able to get all four of the bills passed, but if I could get one or two, I would, you know, consider it a good accomplishment.
State Representative Sarah Davis is a Republican representing District 134 in Harris County. She is a proponent of vaccines and has authored four bills in the legislature that is drawing opposition from anti-vaccination forces.